Well, we dodged a bullet, that's for sure. The Senate yesterday passing the legislation to avert a rail shutdown following a grave warning from President Joe Biden that a strike would cause economic turmoil. It would have immediately caused tremendous turmoil. We can't take that right now. We're fragile enough. And going into the holiday season would have been just incredible. So I thank everybody who worked all of that out, and I hope they're going to be happy with the way things work out. We don't have to revisit another rail strike anytime soon. Meanwhile, the war in Ukraine could be headed to a turning point. The Biden administration considering a plan that would expand the training the U.S. military provides to Ukrainian forces. Our WJR senior news analyst Marie Osborne takes a closer look right now. Good morning, Marie.
And good morning, Paul. And we're talking about training as many as 2,500 Ukrainian soldiers a month at the U.S. air base in Germany. And not only would there be an increase in the number of soldiers being trained, but the type of training they receive would also change. The war in Ukraine started last February 20th, and since then, the U.S. has trained a few thousand Ukrainian soldiers, usually in small groups, on specific weapon systems. But under this proposed new plan that they're tossing around, the U.S. would begin training a bigger group of Ukrainian soldiers in more sophisticated battlefield tactics. And this is according to reports. The training would be far more comprehensive than what these troops have so far received in Poland or in the UK. One military official saying the advanced training is a good idea, but ammunition continues to be in short supply for the Ukrainians. In addition, although the colder weather will mean more dire conditions for the people of Ukraine, it will also mean a lull in fighting, and that could offer the opportunity for more training for Ukrainian forces. The U.S. is not alone in its efforts to help the Ukraine. In July, the U.K. began a program to train 10,000 Ukrainian troops, mostly to new soldiers with little or no combat experience. And they did it with just within a matter of a few months. So that plan was a success. This plan was made at the request of Ukraine, and it is still under interagency review by the administration, Paul W.
Well, there's no question this is a big deal, and we are more involved. It'll be fascinating to see how Putin reacts to this sort of thing. But you know what's great? What we are seeing, Marie, is the people of Russia, and I'll add to that, because they're both adversaries, the people of China are speaking out against their leadership. They are protesting their leadership. We've never seen anything like this. And it's a very dangerous thing for those people to do, but that's how serious they are about being very upset with the way their country is being run and the way they are not given the opportunity for free speech and the things that we take for granted in these United States. They don't have them, and they're upset, and for the first time ever, they have the courage to speak out, which is, as I say, extremely dangerous in Russia or in China, for that matter. And as we head into winter, which will slow military operations, we better gird our constitutions for the fact that we will see a tremendous amount of trouble in Ukraine of people, citizens, the elderly and the very young especially, dying in the conditions that they're going to be left with because the Russians are taking out their power, their heating supplies, their opportunities for fresh water. It's going to get pretty bad, Marie, and we better get ready for that.
Absolutely. I mean, those conditions could be catastrophic for the people who are not fighting on the front lines. We're talking about civilians here, and the Russians know that. And it's going to, the world is also watching, however, as you pointed out here, the world is also watching, and we'll, you know, it's going to remain to be seen what happens. But definitely that's going to be a part of how this war progresses here as we come up. Really, February 20th is the 1-year anniversary of the war in Ukraine. So we'll see how this plays out here in these winter months. And one key component that you're talking about, the unrest in China, the unrest in Russia, is that we have now social media that is a component of a lot of this social unrest, that people now can communicate with one another and organize. And that is really something to watch in all of this.
It is. It is indeed. And it is why we actually see people. We see in the streets, I think it was China, could have been Russia too, where police come up and a person is standing there and the police take their phone mm-hmm. and check it to see if they have any social media apps. And if mm-hmm. they do, they make the people erase them. I mean, mm-hmm. these are unthinkable things in this country that we should think about and not take for granted the rights that we do have. But it's amazing to see what they're doing there to try to control, because the Russians and the Chinese leadership are losing, because people are seeing through social media what's going on and how the rest of the world is living. And these people, after generations of accepting it, after generations of eating the slop being handed out to them by their governments, are saying, wait a minute, we know there's so much more, and we want it. It's astonishing to see, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is. I know you've traveled to China, so have I, and when you stand on Tiananmen Square, and you know what really happened there, and what is being presented to you as you're standing there as being something totally different, it really captures your heart when you realize what people have sacrificed for the very basic freedoms that, you know, we have here every day.
I you bring up Tiananmen Square, and I'll bring up my story of Tiananmen Square. I think it was Eric Granowitz, who was our on the road engineer at the time, and I in Tiananmen Square. I don't think we were doing any interviews at that point. We were just walking around and seeing it. And mm-hmm. a couple of guys came up to us and explained in their broken English they would love to take our picture. And we saw no harm in that, so we stood where they told us to stand, and they took lots of pictures of us, which we didn't think anything of. I mean, we thought that's kind of unusual, but what the heck? They're seeing Americans here in Tiananmen Square. Maybe they just wanted pictures. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, and it was crowded, but out of the crowd, out of nowhere, came four people who literally came in and picked up the two guys who were taking our pictures and carried them away. And a woman came up and in her best broken English explained that those guys were using us to stand in front of an area that they knew they could not photograph legally, but they were using us to make it look like they were taking pictures of us while they were truly taking pictures of something that was verboten, something they were not supposed to take a picture of. It was incredible, eye-opening experience.
Right. And that somebody was watching them do that. So you're always being surveilled. That's a very difficult concept for us to really understand.
Well, Mike Rogers, as Congressman, used to say, when you go to China, Paul, leave your laptop behind. Get a burner phone. Don't take your phone, because the moment you arrive, not only will they be following us as quote-unquote journalists, but they'll be stealing information off our phones and our laptops.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Paul.
Unbelievable. Marie Osborne, WJR Senior News Analyst here on this very special Friday morning edition of the Paul W. Smith Show, live from Edmund T. Ahe Jewelers, Grosse Pointe Woods, marking their 75th anniversary, celebrating life's special moments. Come by and see us at 9 o'clock. We'd love to say hi. 745 WJR.